Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During the time of the judges, when there was no king in Israel, just after the people of Israel had been brought into the promised land, led by Joshua, for many years, the people were faithful to God, and God caused them to be prosperous. And in their prosperity, they began to forget about God and his provision. And so they no longer would call upon the name of the Lord. And God would cause their neighbors, the Philistines, to come into their land. And this happened time and time again. For 40 years, at this point, Israel was suffering under that cruel boot of the Philistines. They were looting their cities and ravaging their countryside. They were severely oppressed. They were in a dark and hopeless time. But as is so often, when dark and hopeless times arise, they give birth to new or renewed faith in God. So it was then. God heard the Israelites' groans of repentance, and he did for them what was humanly impossible, for they were outnumbered. He rescued them from the Philistines. But our Lord's rescue plan did not commence with gathering an underground rebel army or smuggling weapons. His plan centered upon one man. One man who would single-handedly rescue Israel without touching any conventional weapon of war. His plan would commence also with circumstances that no one expected. An angel speaking to a barren woman, the wife of Manoah, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son." The Lord had done great things through the barren wombs of old, from Sarah, Rebecca and Rachel, and he would yet again do great things through the wombs of Hannah and Elizabeth. The wife of Manoah would join their ranks by bearing an important son, and his name was Samson. God's Spirit gave Samson incredible strength. He single-handedly accomplished jaw-dropping feats that became legend. Once, while in a vineyard, he was attacked by a lion, and Samson tore that lion into pieces with his bare hands as though it were cotton candy. In another place, Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. And when the Philistines thought that they had tramped Samson in Gaza, he went out at midnight, tore the city gates from the walls, and carried the gates on his back to the top of the hill. But his final feat was the greatest, killing more in his death than in his life. Blinded and weakened, mocked by his enemies, Samson was placed between two pillars in a large building where thousands of Philistines gathered to worship their god Dagon. Samson stretched out his arms, pushed the pillars outward. And even though it would cause his own death, Samson prayed that God would let him have strength once more to be able to pull the building down upon all of God's enemies. 3,000 of Israel's enemies that day died through Samson's final act. God's Spirit did great things through Samson. But Samson's life was supposed to be distinguished not only by his feats of strength, but also by his devotion to the Lord. Even before he was conceived, he was set apart to live as a Nazarite, forbidden from eating anything unclean, from drinking wine or any strong drink, cutting his hair. He was to be different, to be holy, set apart for God's purposes. He was to live a life dedicated solely to the Lord. And while Samson may have wowed everyone with his strength, he wowed almost no one with his dedication to God. For again and again, he failed to live up to his Nazarite calling. In holy baptism, we too have been called to be holy, to think and live differently than the world around us that opposes who God is and what God says. You shall be holy, God says, for I am holy. And to our shame, like Samson, we have not wowed anyone with our holiness. We have been undisciplined and self-indulgent. We have compromised and have too often blended in with the world. We've been devoted to many other things than the Lord himself and his church. We've been much more dedicated to our impulses and desires than to him. We've been more committed to our own way rather than the Lord's way. Our dedication to living a holy life has not wowed our Lord, and we stand guilty before him. We find ourselves in an impossible situation from which we cannot rescue ourselves. But as it was then for Israel and for Samson, so also for us. For the Lord can rescue us, and he has. Rejoice, for the Lord is more dedicated to you than you are to him. He has done for you what you could not do or never do for yourself. In the fullness of time, at a time of great oppression, the same God who acted for Israel through Samson acted for the entire world. And that means also you. With single-minded zeal and devotion, he rescued us from our sins and from the devil that we have chosen to obey. He has single-handedly done what is humanly impossible. He has rescued us by the greatest rescue plan ever. For nothing is impossible with God. 6 times in Holy Writ, God did wondrous things through the wombs of unlikely women. But in the gospel we heard today, he does an even more wonderful thing through the womb of the most unlikely 7th. He speaks his word through the angel Gabriel, and a faithful virgin named Mary conceives the greatest deliverer. God outdoes himself. The rescue plan for the world begins not through a barren womb, but through a new one. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, said the angel. And Mary's womb would bear not a sinful, imperfect child like Samson, but the sinless, perfect child, Jesus. Is it any wonder that Gabriel said he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High? Of his kingdom there will be no end. The child to be born will be called holy. What child is this? This is God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. The child conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he is the greater Samson. His life was also set apart. He did not waver from his calling and the purpose for which he was sent. And also, unlike Samson, Jesus' greatness was not found in his single-handed feats of strength, but instead his greatness was in setting aside his divine strength to single-handedly do everything necessary for our salvation, to become man. He had the strength to easily rip apart all of us, rip apart a lion. But instead, he placed himself inside of Satan's jaws, suffering God's righteous judgment in your place. He could have used the jawbone of a donkey to wipe out the entire world. But instead, he willingly went to the place of a skull to suffer death. He could have destroyed all those who rebelled against him. But instead, he lifted all rebellion upon his back and took it up a hill in order to atone for it. He could have stretched out his arms and crushed his enemies at any time. But instead, he let himself be blindfolded and beaten and mocked so that he might stretch out his dying arms upon a cross and let hell's punishment do its worst against him and not against us. And yet the greatest act that this child did was to rise from the dead on that third day, where he single-handedly won the ultimate victory for us while bringing eternal judgment upon his foes. From a new womb to a new tomb, this child's whole life was dedicated to making a new you, a new creation filled with the same spirit that empowered Samson, the same spirit that overshadowed Mary, the same spirit that descended upon him in baptism and upon you in the same. And so now you can say along with Mary, "Let it be done to me, O Lord, according to your word." When the Lord sends trials, we can say, "Let it be done to me according to your word, for what you ordain is always good. Let it be done, O Lord, for your will is always best. Let it be done, O Lord, you know best when to end it all. For our Lord is great, his mercy is great, and his victory is great. In the name of Jesus, amen." Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.